This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:15 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. And now we are looking at the offer of tax benefits for improving office ventilation. So this actually came from Health Minister Khairi Jamaluddin, who is calling for employers to improve the ventilation in their office if they need to host physical meetings. So he pointed out that companies in Malaysia which carry out renovations to improve their workplace ventilation systems are eligible for a tax deduction of up to 300,000 ringgit, and this tax benefit has been extended until the end of 2022. They can claim tax deductions, businesses that is, on that sum, on the costs of renovation to comply with COVID-19 SOPs in general. I mean, there is a focus on ventilation because I think that's really where the bulk of the costs are going to be. But yeah.
I mean, firstly, much welcome. I think this is one of those things we've been talking about so long. But it is actually quite difficult, to be honest, for companies to do this kind of changes without making large-scale infrastructure change. So I think things like tax benefits will come in really handy in terms of at least giving them some kind of incentive to do this.
Yeah, but should there also be an incentive for developers, and should there also be either incentives or I don't know, carrot stick, what have you. But the point is, when we're talking about ventilation, it isn't just offices, right? How many of us have offices in shop lots or in terrace houses? By and large, we are in buildings, and the buildings have central air conditioning, central ventilation. I think these are the things that need to be considered.
Let us know, how's the ventilation in your office? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We're talking about this, of course, because Health Minister Khairi Jamaluddin has announced tax deductions to companies that improve their workplace ventilation systems. Now, joining us to understand how this could be put into practice is Wilson Sung, Director at Sea Arch Architecture and Design. Wilson, thanks for speaking with us today. Could we start off by getting your initial thoughts on this tax deduction incentive to improve air quality at the workplace?
I think it's a good start by the government, well-intentioned, but to me, it's slightly limited in scope because I think it only addresses making buildings naturally ventilated, which may not be practical, in certain buildings or certain locations.
So briefly then, what is the bare minimum when it comes to ensuring good ventilation in any enclosed space?
Okay. If you ask a mechanical engineer, I think the minimum standard that they aim for is 6 air changes an hour. So that what that means is that the total volume of air in any room or any space gets changed over 6 times in an hour. Yeah. Now, having said that, obviously it's worked to a calculation of what's the open area of window that you have. Yeah. But more importantly, I think it's whether you have a good cross ventilation. Yeah. Because if you don't, you can have lots of openings, but the air within a space can remain stale. Yeah. A good example is a lot of toilets in, let's say, a shop lot, yeah? So they have the sort of required window opening, but quite often they are, that the air inside is still stale because it's just on one side and there's no through ventilation. So through ventilation is very important, yeah?
And generally speaking, how well do buildings here in Malaysia incorporate these sorts of aspects into their design?
Well, I think it varies, yeah. Because of commercial pressures, quite often people are working to the sort of minimum standards. So again, as I said, the openings are there, but you're not getting through ventilation and you're not getting the sort of proper sort of natural ventilation that you would want to. A lot of it, obviously, is sort of budget-driven. I think there are good examples. People have sort of tried various ways. But, you know, we have a lot of things to consider. For instance, you can have openings, but with our wind and rain, you know, so you've got to sort of deal with that as well.
So then what is the process of retrofitting or renovating to improve ventilation?
It's, again, very dependent on the building we are working on and on its location. So, for instance, if you're in a high-rise tower in the middle of town and you want to improve ventilation, you've got many things to consider, okay? You've obviously got to, you know, see how the current ventilation system works, yeah? And, you know, if you're in an urban center, you know, creating more openings will basically let in noise, dust, and you may upset the sort of humidity levels in the building as well. Yeah. So it's probably more a process of, you know, a mechanical system which brings in more fresh air. Yeah. So there isn't a sort of one fixed formula. Obviously, if you're in a sort of smaller scale building with a lot more greens around it, then it's much easier to deal with it. So, you know, essentially, again, comes back to the basic principles. Building openings if you can, cross ventilation, and then obviously in our context, you've got to sort of have weather protection as well, so you don't bring the sort of rain in with the air, yeah.
So how much of the complexity here depends on the space that we're talking about?
Very much. So certain buildings, I guess, would have to be, sort of mechanically ventilated, yeah? And because of certain functions or because of, you know, environmental considerations, yeah? But a lot of it has to do with the sort of building fabric on itself, yeah? So if you have a building that has, very, very little sort of overhang, depth in the facade, yeah? Then you're going to find it very hard to create openings, yeah? And that comes back to the weathering issue. Yeah, so really, it's on a case-by-case basis. So, I mean, going back to, you know, what the government's proposal, it's you know, on principle, it looks interesting or it's a good start, like I said. But, you know, I'm afraid it may not be feasible for many buildings, yeah, that exist at the moment.
So then are there ways to do this without incurring a huge expense on the building owner's part?
Only if your present building allows it. So, you know, if you're in a suburban part of town and you've got space to extend your eaves and put in sunscreen so that you can open your windows, then, yeah, you can do it, yeah? There are other considerations as well. So a lot of properties, if they're strata titled, you actually don't have the right to alter your facade. So again, you are constrained by that. Yeah.
Are there alternatives you'd like to see considered rather than focusing so heavily on ventilation?
Yes, I think so, because I think ventilation is only one aspect of health. Yeah, I think in creating healthy spaces or buildings that promote wellness, yeah, one has to take a lot more of a sort of holistic view. So air is one, you know, quality of air is one aspect of health. Yeah, but in the building, I think there are other things. For instance, the sort of lighting quality, yeah, the sort of color rendition of the lighting, glare control, yeah, and for instance, how much flicker there is in your light source. Yeah. One more aspect is that I suppose in dealing with the quality of air is the use of air purifiers. Now these come in the sort of standalone unit, but you also can get centralized unit. Yeah. So, you know, perhaps this is something that the government can also consider in their sort of tax incentive schemes. Yeah.
Do you think in a larger sense, COVID-19 has changed the way developers think about their buildings? Will we see changes in terms of how buildings and spaces are ventilated in the future?
Yes, I think very much so. I think the 2 years of lockdown, all our experiences has also given us plenty of time to think of what is important. Yeah. So as we work with our clients today, I think there is a recognition. I'm talking about, for instance, residential units. There is a sort of recognition that open spaces are important. Yeah. So I think that the more we see in more brief, the request for a small open space or at least a balcony. Yeah. At one point, you know, a lot of developers felt that balconies were really not necessary. Yeah. So there's that. Yeah. So another feature that we've been incorporating in is the entrance lobby. Yeah. Where there is a sort of transition space where you enter in, you can, you know, put down your bags. You know, there's a space that if you want to, you can sanitize it. You can take off certain items off you, yeah, before you go in. And these spaces or these lobbies, we try to also design in so that there is a sort of wash hand basin nearby. Yeah, so it becomes like a threshold before you enter into your home, as it were. Yeah, and going back to natural ventilation, so these lobbies also, we try and make them naturally ventilated. Yeah, but there's also been an acceptance of more naturally ventilated spaces. So for instance, we are designing gyms now that are not air conditioned, yeah, that have bigger volumes, big openings, and they are just cooled by ceiling fans, yeah. So previously, you know, it wasn't deemed acceptable, but you know, we think we can create spaces like that which are, you know, generally healthier and just as comfortable, yeah.
Wilson, thanks for speaking with us today. That was Wilson Sung, Director at Sea Arch Architecture and Design, weighing in on buildings and ventilation. Let us know, how's the ventilation at your office? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be looking at messages and wrapping up the headlines of the week. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.